This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0 independent community media. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views. It's a nice winter's day. Hope you're enjoying your day, drinking the coffee out on the back porch there, listening to us, and whatever you're going to do today, just take it easy out there. Lots happening this afternoon. JD's in the house, and much, much more coming up between now and 2 o'clock. The opinion is mine. This is Column Comment. Well, you've seen the news stories of rioting in the UK, which, of course, more than 6,000 riot police are on standby as far-right protesters prepare to target more than 30 immigration advice centres across Britain. Do you know what's going on in Britain? It's not the riots. It's the misinformation on social media fed by right-wing activists and rioters. They're blaming immigrants for the troubles in Britain. Those three girls, it was mistakenly said that they were killed by immigrants. They weren't. That, of course, is in Southport. In Stirling, Scotland, there was an incident where an immigrant was blamed for what happened in that city. Person got assaulted. Wasn't an immigrant. It was a white person. So misinformation is being fed to the Brits, and the UK is struggling to find what happens next. There are some far-right activists. One is on the run. He's got arrest warrants around the world. He's in the Mediterranean. He wanted to set up a rally in Glasgow in Scotland. The city of Glasgow said, "You're not welcome." Social media, X and others. Elon Musk should be told, you stop this anti-immigrant stuff on social media or be charged and jailed. That goes for Mark Zuckerberg and all these social media outposts. More people are going to get hurt, even killed. People in the UK are going to jail for what they've been doing. And the courts are going 24 hours a day, or night courts. It's got to be stamped out. And of course, this stuff has links to the US. If we speak to Gary Schofield today, we'll just mention that. It is Sunday, 17 minutes to 1 o'clock, 233-142, go, August 11, 2024. 1962 this day, the Inter-Island Ferry, Arawana, enters the Picton-Wellington service.
I've packed my bags, I've turned the key, can't get away too soon. My hat, I'm ready to go. So many things to see and do.
This day, 1966, music history, the Beatles embark on their last US tour.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding was being. There she was, just walking down the street.
1940, born this day, Mike Hug of Manfred Mann, he's 83.
Tapping her fingers and shuffling her feet, singing.
Do what diddy diddy dum diddy do.
She looked good, she looked fine, she looked good, she looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me, singing.
2014 this day. Comedian actor Robin Williams, Good Morning Vietnam, and Mork and Mindy dies.
Red roses too, I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night.
This day, 1972, in U.S. war history, the U.S. troops leave Vietnam for the last time.
The rain is gone.
'69, this day, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins, Apollo 11, released from quarantine.
Into the black of outer space go four of the chosen few. The systems check out A-OK, we're going to the moon. Moonshot countdown.
'49, in music history this day, Eric Carmen, the Raspberries, and solo artist and songwriter born, dying earlier this year.
Anyone. Making love was just for fun. Those days are gone.
We play the number one song this day, August 11, 1970. Hoxnort Rupert's original Flaggin' Band.
The other day, as I made my way, I heard the music start to play. Happy sound, people all around. I knew that I was here to stay. Suddenly, by the tree, witness me. She worked all week in a discotheque. She looked at me, but she didn't speak. The beat was good, and I knew I should have bought an extra pair of feet. What are they? So I say, yep, hooray. Pretty girl, can I take you home on a bright and sunny morning?
Thank you.
Come on, my lover, give us a kiss.
Whoa, pretty girl, can I take you home on a bright and sunny morning? We danced all night in the pale light, and now the day is dawning. Pretty girl, can I take you home on a bright and sunny morning? We danced all night in the pale moonlight.
Free FM 89.0, independent community media, cosmopolitan news and views. Still infectious. Oxnard Rupert's original flag and band, led out by the late Alec Wishart and Pretty Girl. It's 10 minutes to 1 o'clock. Well, as that song was playing, Radio Waikato debuted in 1971, as Oxnard Rupert also had other big hits on 954 kilohertz. New Zealand's third privately owned radio station, located at the Federated Farmers Building, London Street. Hosts included ex-1ZH Mike Height and former Hamilton Mayor Margaret Evans. She was a journalist and probably still is. And talk back in the hands of Don Kestrup. He was very controversial in his days and got lots of complaints about his ideas on life. Yes, Kestrup was also an actor in his day, also the late Don Kestrup. So we are remembering Radio Waikato, which no longer exists, the studios in London Street. And, of course, they battled for ratings with the one and only 1ZH. The Claudens Arena hosted America November 24, 2019. Jerry Beckley, Dewey Burnell and the late Dan Peake. Soft Rock, A Horse With No Name, Sister Golden Hair, Sandman, Muskrat Love. In 2024, the band is still touring. One of their popular hits was Ventura Highway. The Claudens Arena, now Glowbox. Other listeners remember the venue hosting the Waikato Winter Show, the iconic Waikato Winter Show. This was a hit for, so for Captain and Tennille. This is America, Muskrat Love.
Muskrat, muskrat, candlelight, doing the town and doing it right in the evening. It's pretty pleasing. Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam, do the jitterbug out in Muskrat Land, and they shimmy. Sammy's so skinny, and they whirl and they twirl.
Like muskrat love.
Sorry about that. I was busy talking to one of our guests and the song ended. That is Muskrat Love. That is the sound of America. Oh, take my breath. 4 minutes to 1. We were talking about Radio Waikato earlier. And in 1971, yes, they came into operation in 1971 out of the Federated Farmers Building in London Street. I actually visited their studios. I actually met Mike Height. Very tall guy. He did Die to Disc, remember, on 1ZH. And then he moved over, the late Mike Height. And, of course, we mentioned Hawks Nord Rupert, Pretty Girl, with a 1971 as Radio Waikato became into action. They would be playing this song on their playlist. They had a playlist of songs they released on a piece of cardboard. And this is it. Auntie Alice brought us this to take us up to 1 o'clock.
In a little church on the village green, I vowed my life away, followed by a little gathering for those who wish to stay. Everyone who came brought us something good to build our happy home. But a certain something caught my eye, it stood out on its own.
On its own, Auntie Alice brought us this. Auntie Alice brought us this. Not too late, not too soon, press it in the middle, it'll play a tune. Auntie Alice brought us this. Auntie Alice brought us this. We got a clod from Uncle Wilberforce, but Auntie Alice brought us this.
When the vicar stood up for his speech, there was not one eye on him. Everybody waiting anxiously for Auntie to come in. And my pretty wife, who was full of strife, she said it wasn't fair.
Cause
the wedding day was runner-up to that thing over there.
Over there, Auntie Alice bought us this. Auntie Alice bought us this. Not too late, not too soon, press it in the middle, it'll play a tune. Auntie Alice bought us this. Auntie Alice bought us this. We got a clod from Uncle Wilberforce, but Auntie Alice bought us this.
We left the town on a honeymoon to an island far away.
Free FM 89.0, independent community media, like the guy playing the spoons there. Hawks Nord Rupert's original flag and band, Dan Auntie Alice. Good afternoon, Mr. Driscoll.
Good afternoon. A month ago, Waikato Times featured Sonning Car Park and its significance for Māori, who know it as an important Waikato riverbank park long before there were any cars to park. The Waikato Times research revealed a rift in how citizens react to what the city councillors consider comes next. Others call the plan a ground imaging extravagance. Well, what's under the riverside at the Sonning Car Park, if anything? That mystery's close to being solved if Hamilton City Council carries out its plan to see ground-penetrating radar images probe any secrets beneath the old Opoia Pa, a location long since levelled and tar-sealed over, creating Sonning Car Park. Archaeologists already identify it as a par site, which local Ngāti Wairere historian Weremu Puke confirms as being where Opoia Pa was. It once overlooked the mighty Waikato River from the riverbank, close to where Claudeland's road and rail bridge now cross. It's land Hamilton City Council owns, but mana whenua include in a Treaty of Waitangi claim. Now, Hamilton's Economic Development Committee last year favoured developing the land rather than to continue with it as a car park. That's when Mana Whenua came into the picture. A rumour surfaced in May this year that the council might consider selling off the site for someone else to develop. That's speculation. Wiremupuke states Ngāti Wairere's concern is to act now to clarify the history of the site before it risks being obliterated. In fact, the iwi has suggested instead of it being a car park, it become green space, safeguarding its pre-colonial mana. That may depend on what the ground-penetrating radar reveals. It's expected September will see that project ignite an outcry. Here's our guest and frequent newspaper correspondent, Mano Manoharan. What do you say about the project to use this advanced ground-penetrating radar?
Well, the ground-penetrating radar is going to cost a lot. And who is going to pay for this? The ratepayers. And they had a meeting sometime back at Link House, which was organized by all the residents of River Road. And it was attended by former mayor, solicitor Julie Hardacre, former deputy mayor Gordon Chesterman, Haripuki's son Wairemu, as well as the guy who wants to develop the land. He's a developer, he was seated at the back. And all the residents were highly concerned. What they want to do is they want to develop it into a one-bedroom apartment without car parks. So all 48, I think, the resident living there will park the car on River Road, which will be a nuisance for the residents who live in River Road. So they objected to it, and Gordon Chesterman chaired the meeting on that day. And three councillors were there, deputy mayor and two other councillors, because the public were against it. Halfway through, they walked out.
Do you care about what the radar reveals?
Yes, Maori people, Haripuki's son, who was there, they say it's important for them. So radar might reveal something, or I'm not sure what it'll reveal.
You are aware that the ratepayers are likely to front up with this money ultimately through rates. Do you think it will be much?
I'm not sure how much it'll cost, but I feel it's a waste of money, of ratepayers' money.
Who's listening? Who counts? Do you think that you've won over others by that approach, Mana?
Yes, I know quite a lot of people who park the vehicle there and walk to the CBD. CBD shops are closing up. There are a lot of businesses closing down.
Well, the first stage will be the radar imaging. Let's see what it reveals, and then we may talk again.
Yes, sure.
So what did Gordon have to say? Gordon Chesterman, and I've talked to Gordon, and I've found him very, very reasonable in the past. He speaks his mind, and he doesn't flower it over. He tells everything straight.
Straight, yeah.
Yeah. And what did Gordon have to say about it?
He's against it.
Yep. And what about Julie Hardacre?
Julie Hardacre was talking to Gordon Chesterman at the meeting. I was under the impression they are going to send a letter, legal letter, to the council.
This area, I know it well because I've gone through it many a times. I'm feeling that because the Claudens Bridge is in that area, if they want to build these apartments, it'll be pretty noisy, and you've got a train going through there too. So I think it's the wrong place to build apartments on that particular land.
I agree with you, but if it is going to be a one-bedroom apartment and no car park for them, it's going to be a nuisance for the other residents of River Road.
This is also linked because when I talked to Mel last week, we are going to face the prospect of having more money spent. The council's got to buy all these water meters, and every resident in Hamilton's got to have a water meter. This has come up before. Hopefully it is, I have to say this, dead in the water, because the Hamilton people are not going to stand for having water meters, more rates, paying for these water meters, paying for water, etc., etc. Your thoughts on these, the reintroduction of water meters?
Yes, I can't understand why they won't introduce water meters. In Wellington, there's no water meters. Lower Hutt, Upper Hutt, there's no water meters there. But because Auckland is having water meters, and finally what will happen is they will hand over to a private company, and that will keep on increasing the charges every year.
Yeah, no, I think as a person who rents my property, the managers of my building complex will have to put a water meter in, and then they'll put up the rents for all the renters around town. So have you seen any figures on what these water meters are going to cost the council?
When you look at the rate statement, about 30.7% of the rates is for water. So if they are going to install water meters, rates should come down by 30%. But I wonder whether council will do this.
I just don't know. Is Hamilton still suffering after the debacle of Three Waters?
Yes. That was a huge sum of money was spent on Three Waters. And it's of no benefit to the country.
And of course, we've got to think of Maori mythology. What is under this car park? I'm thinking, in another serious mood, a Taniwha, because that's been pulled on us in other locations, etc., etc. So are we balancing mythology and reality?
Yes, they claim that there's something under. So once they start digging up, then only they'll come to know what is there.
And, of course, another thing this week is we're going to probably change the rubbish system again, and we may get bigger rubbish bins. Why don't we have rubbish collections on, say, 3 days a week? Because it only takes a couple of days to fill in the rubbish bins we've got already, so...
I think the council can't afford to have 3 days collection. But when they introduced the bins, I raised it up with the deputy mayor, saying that the red bins are smaller than the yellow bins. Mm. But she said she didn't decide on that.
Yes, I saw Sarah Thompson outside with the two rubbish bins we've got all ready. And that's another story. Mano, thank you for your time this afternoon here at Free FM.
Okay, thank you.
It's a pleasure. And you'll have to come back again. Keep the council honest. Because I don't know what's going to happen in the next months leading up to next year's local body elections. Mano, our frequent guest here at Free FM 89.0. It is 9 minutes past one. Our next guest is next.
Thank you.
FM 89.0, independent community media. That is Leroy Anderson and the typewriter. That's for JD, who loves typewriters. Moving on, in 2014, we lost the great American comedian and actor Robin Williams. His death is very, very sad. He made his name in Mork and Mindy, which was an offshoot of Happy Days. And, of course, he made that fabulous movie called Good Morning Vietnam, playing the DJ, a real-life DJ, in his past. From the soundtrack of Good Morning Vietnam, this is the late, great Louis Armstrong. And it went to the top of the charts. What a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful
of talking to people about movies yesterday, talking about the live-action version of the Flintstones. That's from 1962, the US's first primetime Hanna-Barberan movie television series, the Flintstones. Mel?
It's the most inclusive international organization imaginable. The United Nations, big as it is. It relies on member governments, grants, and goodwill to consult together in high hopes that sound debate will lead to effective action. Waikato school pupils gathered in goodwill last weekend to conduct a model assembly of the United Nations. We ask Manu Manaharan, president of the Waikato branch of the United Nations Association of New Zealand, is it anything like the real-life United Nations assemblies?
Well, the United Nations Assembly is to, for the future generation to learn how United Nations functions. So they come there and they try to conduct themselves as representative of various countries for the assembly.
The art to debate, critique, to articulate worries of the world begins in the classroom. Various schools find in their curricula ways to encourage pupils to imagine a popular, peaceful, and positive planet. To put students' enthusiasm and enterprise in focus, the United Nations Model Assembly replicates the process of solving international issues.
Good afternoon, kia ora.
Kia ora, my name is Janet Chima. I am a Year 13 student at Rarotonga Senior High School. And last Saturday, we had the amazing opportunity to host the very first Model United Nations event in Waikato since 2019.
And you represented?
Sorry?
You represented which country?
I was part of the committee yep. who organized it. So my job there was to kind of lead everything and all these people to make sure that the event was able to go smoothly.
This is brilliant because after this assembly, some of these students may go on to youth parliament in the future too. So it's opening doors to maybe a future in politics.
Yes, that's exactly why we wanted to have this event in here in Waikato, because it happens all over New Zealand, and we know that there's such big interest in politics here in the Waikato region amongst our students. So it was amazing to see their ideas and innovation all come together.
How did some of your participants make calls to you or find out what was it all about, what they had to do, write speeches?
So we had to do a lot of outreach and to actually gain interest, which was one of our challenges, just because it hasn't happened for so long. So after they put forward their interest, we gave them the topics and provided some resources. But again, we wanted to... A lot of the learning that they needed was just done on the day by talking to each other and talking to us. So I think it went pretty smoothly.
In the back of the studio, we've got some people gathered from all corners of the globe. So where have they come from?
Well, let's ask Shreshna.
Kia ora. Welcome to Free FM.
Hi there.
How are you? So where are you from and who did you represent?
Well, I was again part of the planning committee with Janet.
Yes.
And we did a lot of the outreach, so I wasn't actually able to be part of this specific forum.
Mm-hmm.
I have participated in many other forums that we've done throughout the years with our teacher, Benny. He has organized a lot of forums for us to participate in with international students from Guangzhou, China. And we had one of those like 2 or 3 weeks before our own Inter-School Model United.
You say about China, this would be something very much different from what they're used to in their own home country.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They were all very passionate about it, though. So we were able to host them in Rarotonga Library,
mm-hmm.
and we had quite a few topics. So we got to talk about space exploration and how that could impact each and every country in its own way.
I do believe China is trying to enter the space race at the moment. I've read those stories in the last couple of weeks too. So that's quite interesting. So have you got a person from China that we can speak to?
Not on this occasion. Actually, more than anything else, it highlights the model assemblies, how that generation, which is yours, confronts threats of climate change, health crises, and against all human logic, violence in modern life.
Let's welcome our next guest, Kia ora.
Benny Pans, one of the teachers, volunteering time to liaise with students. How did it go last weekend?
Well, that was really amazing. I mean, just seeing the them taking a leadership role in organizing and pull off the whole event, bringing 10 high schools across the Waikato region and 84 high school students together. We just see so much energy and empowerment of students. That mm-hmm. was great.
So name some of the high schools. Was Cambridge High there?
No, unfortunately, but we had St. Peter's, Hillcrest High, Boys High, Sacred Heart, Girls High, and all the way to from Te Aloha and Huraki Plains. Yeah, 10 schools. Amazing.
And you guys have got to thank Mano. For year after year, he does this amazing conference with getting together all these young people together. you've got to thank him.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Manu has done a really great job. I remember in one conversation he told me he usually walk into every single school physically to talk to the teachers and the students. I mean, what we've done is really...
We're not embarrassing you, are we, Manu?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, let's look into this process. So students represent a designated nation.
Yep.
Within the United Nations.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And is that choice provided that they can seize the initiative to select that country they want to be associated with, or is it allocated in a team?
Well, most of the time it's allocated randomly to a team of students, and they will have to represent the best interests of their country.
Do you say to them, oh, if you can, come in national costume of that country, does that help?
Yeah. Manu told me, I mean, one year they went to the lecture theatre in the University of Waikato, and they all dressed up in their cultural clothes. That was pretty cool.
Well, let's discover how it went with the specific volunteer for the United Nations Model Assembly, but also on this Free FM 89.0, a volunteer.
Don't be frightened. The mic is open. Hello, kia ora, welcome.
Hi, my name is Dia.
Dia, had you done anything quite like this before?
I have. I've done a few of these sessions before the event. Again, like Sharisha said, we did do some debates with the kids from China, and I've really come to enjoy these things.
To represent your school is one thing, but as the ambassador of another nation, a nation perhaps you've never visited, how did it work out? Which country's interests?
In the past, I have represented countries like Spain and Germany, and it's a really interesting experience because it makes you think from a different perspective and put yourself in like someone else's shoes and representing the best interests of that country.
And was it something that required a lot of time beforehand?
You kind of just do most of the researching and the writing on the actual day, so you might have some prior knowledge of that country before, but most of what you put together is on the day.
Dear, it looks as though you got a lot out of it.
Yeah.
Might someone else give the benefit of their insight into the process? And you?
Hi, my name is Ellen.
Ellen. How did that go?
On the actual day, I was also working as a helper on the planning committee, and I felt it was very fulfilling and rewarding to be helping with the organization of the event, because I participated in Model UN events before, and I found it was so interesting to broaden my horizons and build connections with people around me, and also to see the world in a different perspective.
You've noticed that New Zealand these days is very multicultural, especially Hamilton. I don't know how many races we have in Hamilton these days, but I think we'll lose count.
Yeah, I agree.
Was the problems that you were directing attention to difficult? The situations as they were outlined with the motions that go forward from different nations before the United Nations for debate?
We found that during our inter-school conference that there were a few issues probably concerning... So our topic in our inter-school Model United Nations was lunar exploration, and in this particular conference there were probably a few issues concerning resource distribution and how we would split up land on the moon.
Well, it was certainly somewhat futuristic then.
Yeah, but we found that it was quite connected to our real life, like finance and economics and political world, because it was still connected to how nations on Earth related to each other.
Was there any discussions amongst your groups on the rise of social media? Was there any discussion on that in the groups?
Not in our conference. Oh, actually, there were a few there was a topic that related to how media would be used to advertise and promote the different issues in lunar exploration, and social media probably had some relevance in that discussion.
Thank you, Ellen. Lena, we understand that you were entering into this process too. From your point of view, was it helpful?
The conference, or... Yes, in my opinion, the conference was very helpful. If you're coming from, like, a point of view where you haven't entered, like, a Model United Nations conference debate before, it really challenges you to step outside of your comfort zone and to interact with people from different schools, as well as coming up with innovative ideas.
Were you nervous entering the room?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I wasn't actually... a part of a debate. I was also on the planning committee. As one of the helpers, one of my roles was to do like note passing within the different delegations from different countries. And with this, I saw that a lot of people who had signed up, they actually weren't very nervous. They were really keen to learn more about Model United Nations and to really put themselves out there for the first inter-school debate that's happened since 2019.
Your origins, where did your family come from?
My family comes from Iraq.
Yes.
They came to New Zealand in 2001, I believe.
And you are happy you're a New Zealander. Do you follow rugby, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, so me personally, myself, I was born here.
Yep.
The rest of my family came to New Zealand as refugees, but... Being born and raised here, you know, I grew up with Kiwi,
yeah,
like the Kiwi classics. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Your family probably watching what's going on in the UK with the problems with the refugees being singled out by the far right in the UK at the moment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're very heartbroken. Not heartbroken, but more like when you come from a different country as a refugee or just as an immigrant in general, you're coming to find a better life. So to see, like, people, immigrants in the UK who are suffering because, you know, they came to the UK to seek a better life, but yep, they're not able to.
It's a pleasure having you in here in Hamilton. Who's next?
Faisal.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Vanilla.
Vanilla, do you think the United Nations is an effective body anymore?
Yeah, I do. I think it is effective because it allows us to discuss issues that maybe we don't like put that much importance, stress that much importance on.
You knew that the former Prime Minister Helen Clark was once touted to be the next Secretary General, but she missed out. So, do you ever think a New Zealander will be Secretary General of the UN in the future?
Yeah, I do think there is a chance.
Has your family, in its origins, ever dealt with the United Nations for any reason?
No, they haven't.
Would you expect that in course of time you might aspire to any career that deals with diplomacy or anything like that?
So I don't... My, like, future pathway, I'm trying to aim for more, like, medicine. And I initially picked up MUN to, like, improve on my public speaking skills and, like, broaden my understanding of the world. So I don't really think so.
Have you seen much of the world?
Not yet. That's why I wanted to take this opportunity.
Well, the idea that it's a very, very harsh world that you're part of.
Yeah, I do.
Of course, radio like Free FM is here for you and other people. This is kind of a United Nations of the Year, so because there's varying broadcasts in other languages on Free FM. So maybe in the future you'd like to be a broadcaster with us.
maybe. If medicine doesn't work out, I can always come.
But medicine should work out. You have the intelligence, you are motivated highly, and there's a great need.
Yeah.
And Hamilton has been mooted as the site of a third medical school. It would be convenient for your family.
Yes, it would, but unfortunately it might not arrive in time.
Oh, and I think of the cost of going to medical school. Yeah. You'll have to flip some burgers or something like that.
Yeah.
Working cooperatively in the circle that you formed last weekend, you met the most motivated of colleagues, those who, through their volunteering, wanted to be involved in the process. Did it disappoint you in any way?
No, not at all.
It just shows that New Zealand kids can mix with anybody they like, they feel like they want to mix with, and you have a whole heap of fun.
Yeah. I mean, our team is really diverse, and I feel like even though we come from all different points in the world, I feel like we really connected over our passion for this event and this. It's like our passion project.
Vanilla, thank you for your participation, and we wonder, is there anyone else?
Kia ora, welcome to Free FM.
You would be James.
Yes, that's right. My name is James.
James, were you prepared for how it turned out, the Model Assembly of the United Nations? Or was it something you came to completely new?
So I started doing Model United Nations this year. So I haven't been that experienced, but I've definitely picked up a lot from my peers. Originally, I came in because I wanted to do public speaking and learn more about debate.
Do you do debate at school?
Yeah, we do a lot of debates for Model UN, but I also think it's great for opportunities outside of school.
One of the great challenges in bringing representatives of the worldwide United Nations organization together, language barriers. We're lucky to be talking in English and getting along fine here, but do you think that sometimes misunderstanding comes from cultural difference, including language?
Yes, I do believe that there can be some language barriers.
Do you speak other languages?
No, not fluently.
How important is it if we speak English? Do you think that you would ever wish to speak another language?
Yeah, I would like to speak another language. I've been trying to pick up some Mandarin and, yeah.
When you think of politics, there's often a perception that it's corrupt, the whole process. Well, if that's for certain, the world is doomed. There must be some hope. What do you see that is springing from younger generations that will affect the future, a very different future from now? James?
I think the youth is providing a lot more perspective on environmental issues, certainly climate change and global warming. I hope that the youth generation will bring more insight into that.
Did that come up in discussion when you were at the Model Assembly last weekend?
Yes, certainly. There's a lot of environmental concerns with lunar exploration, with fuel used and...
Are you a bit sad that one of our politicians, Shane Jones, he's welcoming back oil exploration, et cetera, et cetera? You don't feel happy about that?
Not particularly, no, but I can't say I've looked into that much.
Thank you for that, James. I think we have other volunteers who will add a word on the experience of the United Nations Model Assembly.
Any final thoughts?
Okay.
From the organizing committee.
I think that it was just a really great experience for us to be able to get 80 plus delegates all together and allow them to speak on topics that they believe are really important.
Well, if I'm not busy next year, I'd love to come along too. It has been a while since I've been at one of your assemblies. Mel and I used to be regulars there and seen all you seen all the delegates there. I wonder where some of the previous delegates are today. That'll be amazing to find out.
Mm. Benny, I wonder if you would care to say on reflection from the position of a teacher of science at Rototuna High School, modern school, was it anything like your own school when you were yourself going through education?
I think education is just changing so much, and I think we're really lucky to have a school that emphasizes on passion projects, and we are given the time and the resources to actually do things that we're passionate about. That is not traditional, and all these guys, our teams are just so great. They actually learn by doing it. Yeah, so we are very fortunate to have that opportunity.
Is this a cross-section of our community, the people who volunteer to go to the model assembly, or does it represent an elite group that distinguished from fellow students, because not everyone is so motivated?
Yeah, we actually, a lot of students approach me and they say they are really excited about it, but they are actually afraid to step up. So the UN Assembly is open to every single student. You don't have to be good at speaking to participate. In fact, next year we are going to open up one assembly just for beginners, so to just encourage everyone to give it a try.
Hey, are you going to also use primary school students in the future? Because they are the future of the country.
Yeah, totally. Some other countries do that, but in our capacity, we focus on year 9 to 13 at this stage.
Well, it's welcome, and thank you for bringing in this afternoon. Our final word from Mano. Mano, you're the man behind this. Did you ever think it'll be still going in 2024?
Definitely, because at the end of the assembly, I asked all the students whether they would like to see something similar to this next year, and all put their hands up.
You've gotten a lot of time for this. You've come from one part of which was your origins, Mano?
If I say the name, it's called Ceylon, do you know?
Well, now known as Sri Lanka.
Now it's Sri Lanka.
You've been here a long, long time.
Yes.
It's thanks to you and our lovely bunch of young people who've made our day. Thank you for coming in.
Okay, thank you very much.
It involved 75 students from 12 schools representing 28 countries. The United Nations Model Assembly. Thanks so much for your participation.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
In Cosmopolitan News and Views.
And Michael Jackson sung a song about race. It's called Black and White. America.
I'd rather hear both sides of the tale. See, it's not about races, just places, faces. Where your blood comes from is where your space is. I seen the bright blue dawn.
'Twas in the year of 89 on that old Chicago line, when the winter wind was blowing shrill. The winds were froze, the wheels were cold, then the air brakes wouldn't hold, and number 9 came roaring down the hill. Oh, the runaway train came down the track and she blew. The runaway train came down the track and she blew.
The late Michael Holliday talking about a runaway train. Good afternoon, J.D.
Good afternoon, Bruce. Good afternoon, Mel.
Introduce your guest.
Right, so we have a special guest on Free FM today, and that is Jared with his Crazy Garden Railway all the way in Dunedin, South Island.
Oh, Crazy Garden Railway. What on earth is that about? I mean, that's a complete mystery. Jared, you must be the key to this mystery.
G'day. Yes, I sure am. So, yep, I'm the creator of the Crazy Garden Railway in Dunedin, and, yeah, it's something I've been working on for quite a while, but, yep.
Does this railway go anywhere?
No, it's the railway to nowhere. So it's actually very high up in the hills in Ravensbourne. So if you can imagine the Otago Harbour, it's about maybe 5 minutes on the stadium in Dunedin, and it's probably, I'd say, 100 metres above sea level, and it looks out over the harbour. So definitely not a place you would normally find a train.
Oh, very interesting, Jared. Now, could you tell us, where did you get the idea of this Crazy Garden Railway from?
Well, I've always been interested in trains, and especially when I was younger, when I lived in Auckland, I was of the North Shore Model Railway Club, and then I moved down to Dunedin when I was in my teens, and I kind of dropped it for a while and didn't really do anything for quite a few years. And then probably 10 years ago, I think I had an idea just to put one piece of track in my yard, and I drew a quick plan, and that's where it sat, and I didn't actually do anything further for 5 years, and then it went from there.
We remember Dunedin for the railway workshops.
Exactly, yeah. Dunedin is a big railway hub in that regard, and the Hillside workshops were kind of quite famous, and then they were basically pulled down, and they've just reopened this February, January, actually, and they're putting out heaps of brand new wagons, which is good to see.
That's very interesting about those Addington workshops, and it's very good with your creative mind to come up with a plan to make such a interesting layout of all your railway memorabilia.
I guess like I have plans, but it's all very fluid, and I do have these concepts in my mind, but they kind of take on a life of their own, and I sometimes deviate from the original plan and start adding more and more, and that's kind of how I've got to how it is now, and how you would have seen it on my social media, how it's just sort of blossomed into many different directions.
You keep adding to what you have. Comes at great cost?
It doesn't. I've been very lucky, and you know, when you're sort of in this whole railway fraternity, if you would like to call it that, and JD will be able to vouch for this, is you get to know a lot of people, you make really good connections, and people really appreciate what you do, the content that you make on social media, and stuff gravitates towards you, which at a either zero cost or very little cost. Like, I've had so much given to me, probably 90%. I've been very lucky.
You've poured a lot of your time and thinking to the project. How does it stem from your childhood, perhaps, that you followed this interest?
So I'm originally, before I lived in Auckland, I came over with my mum and dad in the 70s, and I was maybe seven at the time or something like that. And my dad was in the Navy when we lived in the UK, and my dad's family was in London, and I lived in Weymouth, which is close to London, and my mum was, her family's all from Glasgow. So when Dad was away at sea, we would go on the intercity sleeper from London to Glasgow quite regularly. And I think that's 100% where it came from. And even my grandmother, when I was young, she used to take me to a railway station called Mortlake, which was in London. And That's where it would have come from.
Did your family ever travel on the Flying Scotsman?
No. Well, not that I know. I couldn't really answer that. I guess it's a possibility. They're not quite into railways like I am. So,
Jared, thanks for linking up. We don't so often do so that right in the south. And to know that your project is there, where can we find on the web information about it?
Okay, so it's on Facebook, and it is called the Crazy Garden Railway New Zealand. And that's a group, and I do updates on that basically every day through the whole process.
Crazy Garden Railway. It's an unusual title. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jared.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for being part of our afternoon here at Free FM 89.0 on a Sunday afternoon. Hope you are enjoying the show this afternoon. And I think we've got to do a thing with trains right now before we do talk to our next guest.
By the station early in the morning, see the empty freight cars all in a row. Hear the station master shout, load her up now, load the train and off she'll go.
Have you loaded on the coal?
Yes, we've loaded on the coal. Oh, down by the station early in the morning, hear the station master loading up the train.
Have you loaded on the trunks?
Yes, we've loaded on the trunks.
And the coal?
And the coal. Oh, down by the station early in the morning, hear the station master loading up the train.
Have you loaded on the cows?
Yes, we've loaded on the cows.
And the coal?
And the coal.
Down by the station, that is the Mitch Miller Gang and Orchestra. It's 12 minutes to 2. Well, I'm linking the problems in the UK with America. It's the problems concerning social media. Good afternoon, Gary Schofield.
Good afternoon.
Oh, what's happened there?
Hello.
Your phone sounded funny.
I'm very far away from you. That might have something to do with it. I thought you also meant the connection. What happened with the connection between the UK and the US in terms of social media? They say that it's disinformation that has been inspiring some of these riots, which means that the power of social media can be great. And of course, where you direct that misinformation can change elections. Yeah. It can alter the course of human history. It's very powerful. So how do you actually go about legislating, and who gets to say what is true and what is not, and what is perspective and what is opinion? So as usual, you've got massive topics, and we only have like 30 seconds to cover them.
The death this week of Colin Powell's wife, Elma, she died this week.
Yes, very sad. Colin Powell also was a great contributor to the history. He was also involved in the weapons of mass destruction testimony, if you remember, what turned out not to be accurate. Very true. And, you know, a lot happens in just 1 week in politics. Also, of course, Kamala Harris has a vice president, Waltz. So you never know how that's going to play out, but or at least the reported polls, a big improvement.
The New Zealand Herald says in its headline, "Tim who?" And some are questioning his service in the military in the U.S. So I saw
that would be a terrible approach. Anybody that serves in the armed forces, and I have had with them over 30 years, is proud, and we all are proud of their service. You can't nitpick and say which is a good service, which is not, which you'd like to respond to. Anybody that serves in the capacity that they feel they can is well kind, and it should be.
Hey, Gary, we'll have to talk more about this next week. We've got a couple of more guests to go. Thank you, Gary.
Certainly. A pleasure.
It's a pleasure. Dwayne Porter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The vehicles that are stolen from the different cities around New Zealand yield statistics, which you've been following.
Yes.
What examples do you have, Duane?
Examples in front of me is from Auckland. It's the most stolen vehicles. They're the first ones in the Waikato. They're the second ones. It's average 100% stolen and burnt out cars that have been located in Hamilton, around the Fairfield, Hillcrest, Chartwell, University and Bader Street areas. So they actually the range between Suzuki's, Nissan's, Toyota's, Acura's, Mazda Bounties and also Toyota Hilux. And the and also like you get farm machinery as well. In the South Island, the stuff that I got from South Island last week or week before is that their population down there is between Christchurch to Invercargill.
So there's a similarity in the models that appeal to the thieves.
Yep.
Whether it be in the South Island or North Island.
Yep.
And no vehicle is absolutely secure.
Nope. There's a way, like if you try and break into a car that's been alarmed, there's no way you can actually secure that. You've got to have a tool that either that you can shut it off inside or you can have a remote.
Talking about stolen vehicles, I wonder if you could do a survey on how many stolen bicycles are in travelling around the city at the moment. There'd be a whole heap of them.
Well, I looked on the police website about 2 weeks ago and I can tell you there was a 300-page information about the stolen cars and also what's been stolen, even bicycles and that. Even the worst part where people dump the cars are along the railway tracks.
Well, we can watch out for each other. Try to keep people's property secure by noticing.
Also, the example was down at Otorohanga Tikawiti last week. A guy that I knew was through the towing company, he recovered so many cars from Alatamanui to Otorohanga and even to Tikawiti.
It's disappointing to know that so many will help themselves to others' property.
Well, it is, but, you know, the problem is that, you know, people leave their cars out on the roadside, which, yep. you know, you can't, yep. you know, that's the bad area around Hillcrest area.
And we won't talk about the rugby because the All Blacks lost to Argentina last night. So
the Argentinians, I'm happy with them.
Someone be happy in the New Zealand about that. Anyway, thank you. Trevor is next. Great, a very young Michael Jackson and Rockin' Robin. Good afternoon, Trevor. Trevor's talk.
Oh, good afternoon. Do you want to add something before I do my talk, Mel?
This day in history, it may be now the focus of the Olympic Games, but in 1944, 80 years ago today, the future of France under the government of Premier Marshal Pétain, who signed an armistice with Nazi Germany, turning France upon the Allies, was up for negotiation. But the emerging political leader, President Charles de Gaulle, would have nothing to do with negotiations as the Free French fought on.
Oh, right. Cyclists, I saw two cyclists this week in the early hours of the morning in dark clothing riding on the footpath. No helmet, of course.
Yep, that's becoming more and more in the city as people ride round on bicycles. Then he got wiped out the other night by a cyclist on one of the Hamilton streets. So you can't see them coming.
No, well, the good part is that it's so rare to see a cyclist. What I'm going to talk about today is TV programs and the amount of repeats. Fraser, a comedy I do enjoy, is one of the very few American ones I do. is on for an hour and a half each day, one for a whole hour and another one later on for half an hour. But they're repeats, and some of the repeats are only 2 or 3 weeks old. And it goes on and on. That's only just one example. This Chase is another one, there's ongoing repeats. What I can't understand why there's so many, why not go back to their files and find a program that hasn't been screened recently, but some years back, there were a lot of good programs that were on years ago, even some classics like Upstairs, Downstairs, The Professionals. There's quite a variety of type of programs, humorous, drama and so on. Why not bring them out of those sort of filling in a gap on the programs and play them? Because these repeats, the last one was still very fresh in the viewer's mind.
Dwayne, close your ears. You watch Coronation Street in the afternoon. It's a repeat. Ooh.
It's got repeat pie, but it's not a repeat as such. Maybe a repeat from the later, because that's screened twice a day, one in the afternoon and then one at night. And I don't know where the repeat comes from, because the one on at night is ahead of the one on during the day, so it should be the other way around with the repeats.
Oh, this is going to keep going on, and maybe one of these days we'll have another Coronation Street debate on the pros and cons. Hey, Trevor, and all our guests, thank you for the afternoon. Mel, been a pleasure working with you this afternoon, and we've had lots of interesting people, those young people, how well presented, talking about their world. Well, it was this year, 1971, that Radio Waikato came into being here in Hamilton from the Federated Farmers Building in London Street. And we had Hoxnord Rupert doing Aubrey. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Tale about a young male who worried about getting old. Aubrey, he knew what he had to do, search for his fortune in gold. He met a rich girl, her name was Pearl, married and soon settled down. A beautiful wife to love all his life, the idol of his little town. Aubrey was king, he wanted to sing.
Time to hand over to Harmony Waikato. Love the guy playing the spoons in this. I think that was Alec Wishart. Did people still play the spoons? Oh, I've just been given a big nod and big yes. Hey, thanks for your company. We'll do it again next week. Richard and the crew are here to do it. See you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.